कृष्ण प्रेषाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 85. We'll read the chapter summary and verses 1 through 3. Lord Krishna instructs Vasudev and retrieves Devaki's sons. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna imparted divine knowledge to his father along with Lord Balaram retrieved his mother's dead sons. Having heard the visiting sages glorify Krishna, Vasudev ceased to regard him and Balaram as his sons and began praising their omnipotence, omnipresence and omniscience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After glorifying his sons, Vasudev fell at Lord Krishna's lotus feet and begged him to drive away the conception that the Lord was his son. Instead, Lord Krishna restored that conception by instructing Vasudev in the science of Godhead. And upon hearing these instructions, Vasudev became peaceful and free of doubt. Then Mother Devaki praised Krishna and Balaram, reminding them how they had retrieved the dead son of their spiritual master. She said, "Please fulfill my desire in the same way. Please bring back my sons who were killed by Kamsa, so I may see them once again." Entreated in this way by their mother, the two lords went to the subterranean planet of Sutala, where they approached Bali Maharaj. King Bali greeted them respectfully, offering them seats of honor, worshipping them and reciting prayers. Krishna and Balaram then requested Bali to return Devaki's dead sons. The lords received the boys from Bali and returned them to Devaki, who felt such a surge of affection for them that milk began spontaneously flowing from her breast. Overjoyed, Devaki fed the children her breast milk, and by drinking the remnants of milk once drunk by Lord Krishna himself, they regained their original forms as demigods and went back to heaven. So, we have three verses. Let's do text three responsively, and we'll do the text one and two together. Shri Badarayani Uvacha, we say it together, right? Again. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Athaikadat Majau Praptav Krita Padabhivandanav Vasudeva Bhinandyaha Pritya Sankarshanakshitav. Shri Badarayani said, one day the two sons of Vasudev, Sankarshana and Achyuta, came to pay him respects, bowing down at his feet. Vasudev greeted them with great affection and spoke to them. Muninam savacha shritva putrayo dhama suchakam tadviya jata vishnambha paribhashya vibhashata. Having heard the great sage's words concerning the power of his two sons and having seen their valorous deeds, Vasudeva became convinced of their divinity. Thus addressing them by name, he spoke to them as follows. Now I think we have run out of time because in 15 minutes half the class will go. So maybe we just chant these verses together as well so I can say something. Let's chant together. Shramaha yogin sankarshana sanatana jane vamasyat sakshat vadana purusha parav. Vasudev said, O Krishna, Krishna, best of yogis, O eternal sankarshana, I know that you too are personally the source of universal creation and the ingredients of creation as well. purport, and starting a Sankhya doctrine of Lord Kapiladev, for dhyana is the creative energy of the Purusha, the Supreme Person. Thus, of these two principles, the pradhana is the predominated energy, female, incapable of independent action, while the Purusha is the absolutely independent, primeval, creator and enjoyer. Neither Krishna nor his brother Balaram belong to the category of subordinate energy. Rather, both of them together are the original Purusha, who is always joined by his manifold potencies, pleasure, knowledge and creative emanation. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha. So, how many of you have gone to school on exam day and were not prepared for the exam? Oh, many. So I'm not prepared today for this lecture. Yesterday morning I woke up and I thought I was going to lecture today. And then I looked at the calendar and then I misread it. So I looked at last Tuesday and I thought Tamahar Prabhu was giving the lecture today. And then today, this morning, about 6:45 or something, my wife said, "Aren't you lecturing today?" I said, "No." And I wasn't going to, I forgot about it. Then I decided, no, I should look up. So I looked up and I am lecturing today. So normally we say, we have some excuses for not turning in our homework. The dog ate my homework. So my excuse is, what is my excuse? Yoga Maya, that's a generous devotee's suggestion. Yeah. What is sarvasya chahamriti sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Smriti, memory, jnanam, knowledge and forgetfulness, apohanam, all come from Krishna. I wanted to welcome Amy. Did I get that name right, Amy? So, just wanted to get some background on you. I don't want to put you on the spot, but have you heard this philosophy before? You have? Okay. So this is not completely foreign to you. Let's look at the purport today and try to examine some of the concepts here. The Sankhya doctrine of Lord Kapiladev. Lord Kapiladev is Krishna himself, who speaks to his mother, Devahuti, and gives him Sankhya, tells her Sankhya philosophy. The Vedic pantheon has six systems of philosophy in it. Some philosophies are atheistic philosophies. The Vaisheshikas, they think that everything is atoms. Who else thinks everything is atoms alone and nothing else? The scientists. Well, science is nothing new in the sense that the Vaisheshika philosophy, which is thousands of years old, is also a philosophy that describes the universe as an atomic construction. And actually, the Greeks also had figured this out from logical deduction. Their idea was, well, let's cut this piece of rock into a piece and then cut that rock into further pieces and keep cutting. And by that, they deduced there must be something that's uncuttable, indivisible, and that would be atoms, although atoms are divisible at high energies. But so the Vedanta is one of the six systems of philosophy. There's also Karma Mimamsa, for example, where everything in the world is described based on the laws of karma. And the concept there is, even if there is God, he's subordinate to the laws of karma, action and reaction. But Vedanta philosophy is further subdivided into two, the Advaita Vedanta by Shankaracharya and the real Vedanta, we would claim, the Bhakti Vedanta. Prabhupada is called Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, there is something called the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra, what is the Veda? Veda is, the word means knowledge. Veda Anta, the end of knowledge, end of all knowledge, Vedanta. This Vedanta Sutra, also compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled all the Upanishads and the Puranas and Itihasas. The Vedanta Sutras, this word sutra, they are very condensed sentences that are loaded with meaning. And I actually brought the Vedanta Sutra with me today to show you what it looks like. Somebody, can you pass me that blue book? So it's not in English, but this is the Vedanta Darshan, Sri Vedanta Darshan. It's written by Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Have you heard of this name? Baladeva Vidyabhushan was the disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in response to a challenge in India from people who questioned the you could say the right of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to call themselves a parampara, I wrote this book, Sri Vedanta Darshan. And this is called the Govinda Bhashya. This Sri Govinda Bhashya. Bhashya means critique or writings or speech. So Govinda, Sri Govinda, Baladeva Vidyabhushan wrote this Sri Govinda Bhashya. Now, why am I talking about all this? We have to understand that there is a rich tradition of argument and counter-argument in the Vedic tradition. People have put forward, like I said, the six systems of philosophy, put forward various conceptions of the world, of the universe around us. And what the Vedanta Sutra decides to do, is designed to do, is to refute all these arguments and establish one conclusion. The first verse or aphorism, as it called, it's called, of the Vedanta Darshan, or Vedanta Sutra, sorry, is, anybody know? Athato Brahma Jigyasa. This is very familiar from Srila Prabhupada's writings. Athato Brahma Jigyasa, that's the first aphorism. Therefore, Atha. No, Atha is now. Atha means therefore. Brahma Jigyasa, inquire into the Absolute Truth. Okay? Let us inquire into the Absolute. That's the first aphorism. The second aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra is Janmat Yasya Yataha. Have you heard of this verse? Anybody heard of this? Janmat Yasya Yataha? Any students have heard this? No? We should get familiar with this. And this is also today's context. Vasudev is saying, O Krishna, Krishna, best of yogis, O eternal Sankarshan, I know you two are personally the source of universal creation and the ingredients of creation as well. This is another way of saying Janma Adyasyataha. This is in the Hare Krishna. So, senior devotees have asked me to continue the class. I think Mataji is doing better now. It was suggested to me that, especially in these times, one should continue talking, giving a lecture on the Bhagavatam. I was on the meaning of the second verse of the Vedanta Sutra. And the second verse was Janma Adi Yasya Yataha. Janma is birth of this whole universe. But in today's context, it could also mean birth of our individual, each individual entity. Janma, Stiti and Pralaya. Stiti is, Janma means birth, Adi is etc. etc. So what is this etc.? And everything else. It is birth, maintenance and death. Birth, maintenance and destruction. That's Janma Adi Asya. Asya is of this. Of what? Of everything we are seeing around us. So the Vedanta Sutra is explaining that everything that we see around us, the birth of everything, this room, the building blocks of this room, the whole cities in this world, the whole world, trees, mountains, everything. The birth of this, the maintenance of it, that means we see this world in some sort of order continuing on for generations, and the destruction of it, which will happen inevitably. Janma adi asya yataha, from whom this happens, by whom this happens, because of whom this happens. That is the Brahma. Athata Brahma Jigyasa is the first aphorism, and the second is, from this Brahma, this whole thing is coming, being maintained and being destroyed. So, this is what today's verse is saying. O Krishna, best of yogis, O eternal Sankarsana, I know that you too are personally the source of the universe and the ingredients of the universe as well. Janma adi asya yataha. Then when we go on a few more aphorisms, there is a famous, and Prabhupada cites this a lot, Ikshater na shabdam. Well, Prabhupada cites sa ikshata, he glanced. Iksha means to see. So, Ikshater na shabdam. The modern idea is that the material universe, its origin, its maintenance and its destruction is without supervision. There is nobody in charge. It happens on its own. It's being maintained on its own, it's coming into existence on its own from nothing, and it is being destroyed into nothing on its own. Well, the modern science doesn't have the conception of that everything is going to be destroyed. So, the Vedanta Sutra refutes this particular sutra, Ikshater na shabdam. And this is how it does it. See how concise it is. In two words, it has rejected this concept. Ikshate na shabdam. Na ashabdam. So let's understand these three words. Ikshate hai, that's one word. Na is another word. And ashabdam is another word. What is shabda? What does shabda mean? But in the revealed sound, right? Transcendental sound, revelation. The Vedas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, these are all shabda. They are not coming from a human source. A shabda in Sanskrit is a negation. When you add a, it negates it. A shabda means that which is not revealed, that which is a mental concoction. So this idea that everything has come on its own and is being maintained on its own and there is no God is a shabda. It is not a scripturally agreeable philosophy. It contradicts the scripture and therefore it is wrong. It is rejected. This is Srila Prabhupada's approach. Do not concoct. Tell us what's in the scripture. So, and if not, don't say anything. So, ikshate hai, what does it mean, ikshate hai? The idea is that in shabda, in shastra, in scripture, iksha means to see is included in the scripture. Should I continue or what should we do? So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vedas, it is explained that Mahavishnu, this plenary expansion of Sri Krishna, glances on Pradhan. This word Pradhan has been used here. Pradhana Purusha Parav. So, Mahavishnu glances and injects living entities into the material universe. And that's how this world comes about. So the logic of Ikshater na shabdam is that a non-material thing cannot see. So a material thing cannot see. Ikshate is to see. Cannot see, cannot glance. Who glances? A living entity glances, right? In the Shruti it is said that the material world came about through the glance of Mahavishnu. So, because the word iksha is used to glance, and because material things cannot see, therefore, this idea that the material world came from nothing is false. It's not scriptural and is to be rejected. So, this is the idea of this sutra. So, the Vedanta Sutras contain concise refutations of atheistic philosophies. And the way they reject them is by asking, is this scriptural or is this not scriptural? So they use scriptural logic to defeat atheistic ideas or concocted philosophical ideas. Now, janma adi yasya yataha, this aphorism is also the first few words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first chapter, first verse, janma adi yasya yataha anvaya adi taritashchartheshu abhigyah swarat. This verse, Prabhupada used to cite a lot. Prabhupada would say, who is the source of everything? Okay, this is how science is saying this happens and that happens, but what does science say about the source of everything? Ultimately, that's who we have to find out. Is there a doubt about who the source is? No, Krishna, Krishna, you are the source. This is what's being explained. But janma adi yasya yataha, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first verse, says, he who this has come from, janma adi, this Vedanta Sutra's second aphorism, who is this person? The Bhagavatam is going to explain it. And because the Bhagavatam explains it, therefore the Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. This is the connection between the two. Actually, the Bhagavatam starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, right? So the Bhagavatam first tells you that Krishna is Bhagavan, Vasudev. And then the next words are janma adi yasya yataha. He, Krishna, is from whom all this have come. And where is the janma adi yasya yataha? Where did this come from? It came from the Vedanta Sutra. So that's the connection. And then the verse is beautiful. It is, this one verse is the condensed understanding of the whole Bhagavatam in many ways. Janma adi yasya yataha. Anmayad itaratashchartheshu abhigya swarat. Swarat, Krishna is independent, supremely independent. Abhigya, he is the only all-knowing person. Anvayad itaratashcha, directly and indirectly one can understand this. What does this mean? Anvaya and vyatirek, these are logical constructs that are used by Shankaracharya a lot. Also used by Sridhar Swami a lot, also used by Jiva Goswami and our acharyas. Anvaya and Vyatirek. Anvaya is logical continuance from a previous logical construct. So, and Vyatirek means indirect connection. Anvaya is direct connection. So, Krishna is to be understood as the source of this material creation directly and indirectly. So directly how? By understanding that it is his material energies that are being transformed. And also the fact that Mahavishnu impregnates the living entities, the souls, into this material creation. Directly, that's his connection. And indirectly we can understand from the wonderful creation, the complexities, no ordinary human person could have conceived this. Indirectly, Krishna is here. Na tu aham teshu te mai. I am not in them, they are in me. What is indirect? Krishna's personal form is not in the material world. You know, if I look at this wall or I look at the floor, I don't see Krishna there. Krishna has pervaded in his Brahma form, but he is not there as a person. So therefore, he is indirect. The Brahma has pervaded the universe, but not Krishna, the person himself. So therefore it's indirect. So directly and indirectly, tene brahma ida ya adi kavaye muyanti yat surayaha. Now the Krishna is so complex to understand, so beyond our capacity to begin to fathom, that muyanti yat surayaha, even the demigods were far more advanced than us in terms of intellectual power and capacity for perception. They are confused about him. So the Bhagavatam keeps coming to this theme, yes, how Krishna is beyond description, beyond understanding. God is not so easily fathomable. We can analyze, put him under a microscope and figure out who he is, or his qualities. Tena Brahma Ritha Ya Adi Kavaye. Brahma, Lord Brahma is the original creator, and in his heart Krishna revealed the Vedas. So Krishna is the source of the Vedas. This is this verse. Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimaya Atrati Sargo Vrusha. By Krishna's energy, we make wrong conclusions about things. So even Maya, the illusory potency of Krishna, is Krishna's potency. It is by Krishna's energy that all the living entities are able to forget him. Like I said this morning, you know, when I began, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam. So, in the material world, people tend to mistake cause and effect. Tejo Vari Mridam. When you have a mirage in the desert, you tend to think that there is water there, but there isn't. It's just very hot. There is fire there, but instead we confuse it to be water. So this is an analogy used to explain that we will always make the wrong conclusions if we just go by our intelligence about whether there is God, whether there is anybody in charge, how this material world is working. To really understand that Krishna is in charge, we have to take shelter of Shruti. So that's the point. And then the final line is Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. From Krishna's, well, so this is all the material creation. But Krishna also has a spiritual world, that is his home, his abode. And from this spiritual world, all this illusion, you know, mirage and all that, the question of who is in charge, who is not in charge, how is this being maintained, is there God, is there no God, all these things are not relevant. Eternally rejected. Sada, nirasta kuhakam. Nirastha means rejected, kuhakam, any deceit, any mistakes, any capacity for error is internally rejected for Krishna's supreme board, this Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. Satyam Param Dhimahi, and that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. So the verse starts with Janma Yasya Yataha, who has this come from? And then it concludes that Krishna is the supreme, it's come from the supreme absolute truth. Satyam Param, who is the Supreme Absolute Truth? Sridhar Swami explains, Yat Satyataya Mithya Sargopi Satyavat Pratiyate Tam Param Satyam. By which truth, this false, because it's temporary and because we get false conceptions, this false material world appears real. That is the Supreme Absolute Truth. That's how Sridhar Swami defines Supreme Absolute Truth. What is the Supreme Absolute Truth? He who is able to put other people into delusion, illusion about what the actual truth is. By whose power that happens? That's the Param Satyam. Satyam Param. So this is the understanding we have. Why does the Bhagavatam explain this? Because it's important for all of us to know that Krishna is in charge of everything. And it's important to remember Krishna, even though we are in this, you could say, impersonal world. People get very enamored with beauty of the nature. People go to watch the Grand Canyon or the Niagara Falls and everything else. They forget Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. We have to always be conscious of this fact. Anyway, I'll conclude here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, if there are any comments or questions.
When you were speaking about Baladeva Vidyabhushan, I always I remember the story from one of our local devotees here. I can't remember his name, our flute maker, but the devotee who's living here who makes the flutes. Dasarasuta, yeah. Dasarasuta translates this really nice life story of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Mm. And in that, he talks about how when he went to Vrindavan, you know, it was pretty devastated by the Muslim invasions and so forth. And So he basically single-handedly brought back the influence of the Goswamis, but he saw that that the Goswamis' philosophy was so, you know, so highly elevated that the local people weren't able to really understand it. So it describes in this biography that he was praying that someone would come that would be able to explain the philosophy to the local people. And then that's when Baladeva Vidyabhushana came. And then, so whenever I think about that, I always think how Srila Prabhupada dedicated the Bhagavad Gita to Baladeva Vidyabhushana because of his commentary and made it more understandable for us. So,
yeah. Thank you.
When you were describing directly and indirectly, so the indirectly, does that mean like inferred that everything that you see that's just completely beyond your comprehension, the inconceivable potency of God, so that was the indirectly?
Well, my understanding is the inference of God's existence based on the material world or study of the material world also has to be scripturally based. So any conclusions about God, anything that's to be conclusively said about Krishna only comes from the Vedas or from the Bhagavatam. Because the living entities are susceptible to So the indirectly, my understanding of the indirect business is that Krishna's yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti, the effulgence of Krishna, Brahma, is pervaded. Krishna pervades the material world in his impersonal form. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagad avyaktamurtina mastani sarvabhutani nacha aham teshu avasthitaha. All living entities are in me, but I am not in them. So he is not here, but he is here. So he is not directly here as in his personal form, but he's here in his Brahma impersonal form. That's my understanding. But I think there are two Vaishnavas that want to answer.
I was just going to continue the question. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that I think that's where you were reciting, quoting it from, isn't that Krishna's both, he's conscious of it directly and indirectly. It was referring to his being conscious of it. He understands the material world both directly and indirectly, so that indirectly was referring to Krishna's understanding the material world as Brahman.
Krishna understanding?
Well, I thought in the first verse it's referring to he's conscious. How does it say it?
I mean, Krishna, Vedaham samatitani vartamani charjan bhavishyani. So Krishna knows everything, past, present, future. But I think my understanding is that this material world doesn't have person Krishna in it. It has his energies. And it's a transformation of Brahman, his impersonal effulgence. He's not with us right now in his personal form. So in that sense, he's indirectly here, whereas he's not. But I think Tamar Prabhu and Pranagovinda Prabhu have a response to that. So let's give them the chance to respond. Yes,
hey Krishna, thank you. Interesting discussion, and appreciate you carrying forth with the class. I was just glancing through the purport of 111, and Srila Prabhupada also seems to indicate that indirectly means that he also works through his different energies. He mentioned the demigods and all of his deputed energies and material energies. So direct, indirect can also mean that. And of course, as you're saying, that's all somewhat transformation of the mind as well. So anyway, it's Krishna has variegated energies, very complex, and he works in all of these ways, we'll say directly and indirectly.
Pranagovinda Prabhu, and then let's go to Madan Mohan Prabhu. We'll come back to you. Sure.
Well, that verse, one of the core verse, Jata Mahanti Bhutani Bhuteshu Uccha Avasyeshu Anu. The next line, Prabhupada gave a very important, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, Pravishtani Apravishtani. He entered and he didn't enter. So Krishna actually is here. You cannot say that Krishna is not, he's only energy. That's not Prabhupada's view. Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna is in everywhere, Also, he is not everywhere. Because Bhagavad Gita also reconfirmed Prabhupada's opinion. That sarvato pani pado mukham sarvato akshi shiram.
So, as Paramatma, yes. As Paramatma, he is in everybody's
heart. No. Mm-hmm. Krishna spoke. Krishna didn't say Paramatma is everywhere. This is the Madhvacharya's opinion. Paramatma is everywhere. But Lord Chaitanya didn't say that.
Okay.
Advaita Acharya, his appearance is coming. He was bewildered by this question. In Chaitanya Bhagavata, he says, whole chapter is on that verse.
Mm-hmm.
How is possible you are everywhere? Is Mahavishnu asking that question? He could not reconcile. So Lord Chaitanya came in a dream. When I appear, I will explain him.
Mm-hmm.
So the summary given that Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya says, it is the super soul everywhere. And then Ramanujacharya says, it is the physical form of the Lord. So in that sense, he is everywhere. It is eyes and legs.
Vishwamukham.
Yeah, it's there, but Mahaprabhu gave the best answer. Mahaprabhu says, just like Prabhupada gave the same answer, what Mahaprabhu gave, that when you have a love for the Lord and you offer it, he is there. There is no material element.
Sure.
So he is there and not there. Both are there. Pravistani or Pravistani. So, whole purpose is to revive the love for God. Then Krishna is everywhere. And Mahaprabhu gave that everything belongs to Krishna, whether material or spiritual, doesn't matter. Everything belongs to Krishna for His pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So, our whole purpose is neither renunciation or enjoying. Our whole purpose is to dedication, utilize everything for Krishna's pleasure, whatever. Then everything is actually will be utilized and Krishna will be accepting and Krishna will be everywhere.
Hmm. This is a deep topic. But Madan Mohan Prabhu again.
I was just, the way that it's written in the translation, he is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations.
Hmm.
So it was more or less pointing out his point of view. I mean, he's indirectly, it says he's directly and indirectly conscious.
Sure.
So when it says indirectly conscious, that's a little...
understanding of that,
yeah.
Although Param Govinda Prabhu would disagree, is that he is conscious through his, it's not Krishna the person, but his expansions. You know, so from Mahavishnu we get the different Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya, so Shiradakshaya Vishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right? Garbhodakshaya Vishnu lies down in that Garbhodaka ocean. And Shiradakshaya Vishnu pervades the material universe in his form as Paramatma, entering the atoms also. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha. So Krishna is conscious through Shiradakshaya Vishnu, but Krishna is not personally there playing his flute. Although the devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that for the devotee, Krishna is, Shama Sundar is present, for example, in the temple when we are offering him prasad. So when there is devotees, loving exchanges with the devotees, also this Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana, Santah Sadeva Dayeshu Vilokayati. So the devotees see him, Krishna, Shama Sundar in their heart. They don't see Paramatma in the heart. So for the devotees, I agree to that. Krishna is present in the personal form in the material world also. This is relevant in the heart. But the Sarvatha Panipadam verse, that 13th chapter is an Upanishadic verse. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained it that way, I guess. But if you look at the context, it's really speaking about the Upanishadic idea of Paramatma. That's 13th chapter is accepted as an Upanishadic commentary. So if you look at Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murdina, this idea is not inconsistent with that. Krishna also says, Maya Tatamidam, Prabhupada's commentary quotes this, Avyakta Murdina, I have pervaded this entire world with my impersonal feature. Unmanifest. So, but yes, for the devotee, Krishna can manifest his personal form. Both conclusions are acceptable to me.
We think second canto, chapter 10, the last chapter where the Visarga, the whole universal form is explained by Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sukhdev Goswami and Prabhupada purport very nicely where you can find actually pantheism.
Mm-hmm.
Pantheism that he is everywhere. And the pantheism has a two concept. This impersonalism has a two concept.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be understood because we don't have time. Then comes monotheism.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes polytheism. Then comes polymorphic monotheism, polymorphic bimonotheism. Then one can understand. That is Gaudiya Siddhanta. That we accept that. That he is here, also he is not here. How to understand? That gives a complete.
Mm-hmm.
So it's directly and indirectly for Madhava Yashoda, what is the difference? Versus was the Shankaracharya, Mayavad is different. Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvata Akshi Shiromakam. Shankaracharya is one of the verse. It was very difficult. He wrote a whole big chapter just to say that actually this is not, he is not there. This Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvata Akshi Shiromakam is not his.
Then whose?
That's the, who is asking? That's why I said Muramote means according to me or according to foolish. Mura has a two meanings. The Mayavadis are mostly demoniac background.
Mm.
And that's why they take it that way to divert from the Hare Krishna people.
Mm.
So Hare Krishna people can chant and take the innocent people into Krishna consciousness.
That's why they are very
difficult for them to understand this verse.
Mm. Yeah, there's another verse. Yechaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasashre matteva tan vidhi nato hanteshu. I am not in them. Te mai, they are in me. All these three gunas, you know. So there are many verses Krishna also points that out. But when we come to Gaudiya, when we come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, then, you know, we see the world differently. Mm-hmm.
But challenging each other with Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam
Bhattacharya.
Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is lying down right in front of them, next door. But there, one is defying his position and he is coming from a sentimentalist point.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst thing you can do, to take a 24 years old young sannyasi as an absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he referred Saptam Param. The Prabhupada says these two are the actually base to establish the absolute truth.
Mm.
It has to be Sattam and has to be Param. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya says, this is what you're doing wrong, mistake. And Prabhupada supported him. You know, it was very funny. Prabhupada said, yes, one should not just agree anybody, any sannyasi is the supreme God.
Mm.
Prabhupada was indirectly supporting. But then next verse, he says, Anuman Praman Nahe Krishna Shakti Vine Kripa Bina Ishwarere Keho Nahi Jani. So that's the difference between Hare Krishna people and other. We depend on the mercy to understand. They don't.
I guess we depend on both.
Yeah, we
Anuman and Kripa both.
No, but Kripa first.
First Kripa.
First Kripa, then Anuman.
Hmm.
Because Prabhupada did say mental speculation we don't want. But we can, if we do philosophical speculation, we can get devotion. So it's very fine-tuned.
Thank you very much. Nitya Gaur Premanande.